We present The Sound of Football.
Man United's case, yeah. They've got, say, Chelsea at home, then Blackburn away, Man City away, Tottenham at home, could be a bit tricky, and Sunderland away and Stoke at home.
No, it won't be. Tottenham are rubbish away against the big four team. I doubt whether they've even got a point at Old Trafford in the last 15 years or so.
And there's me trying to build up the tension. I mean, come on, no, just help me out here. I'm trying to do my best here. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to show 34 of Sound of Football. Chris Oakley here, send your complaints to the usual places, and with me this week, not Terry DeFellin, sadly. We've got a few technical problems this week, which sadly prevent Terry from participating, but I'm very pleased to say that we have got Graham Sibley on the line. Are you there, Graham?
I am indeed, here I am.
Splendid, excellent. So, just me and Graham, but as you know, we've been off for a week. We've recharged our batteries over the Easter break, and apologies for our unannounced absence on that, but we're back, and ready to recap on what's been going on, because there's been quite a few interesting, important, and intriguing football games going on while we've been away. We now know that there will not be any English clubs left in the last four of the Champions League. We do know that there will be two English teams left in the last four of the Europa League, namely Liverpool and Fulham, in case you hadn't already guessed. We're no clearer, really, in trying to find out who's going to win Premier League title, although at the moment Chelsea kind of have the advantage. And we're not really any clearer, apart from Portsmouth, in knowing who's going to be going down to the Championship in terms of relegation battle. We do know, though, that Newcastle and West Brom are coming up. So lots been going on while I've been away. We've also had we've had sort of Champions League and stuff, so perhaps we'll start with that, Graham. Well, basically, it was down to Manchester United and Arsenal in the end to fly the flag, as it were, for England. We'll start off with Arsenal, seeing as that's your team. I guess, being brutally fair, brutally honest, a lot of people... there weren't many people, rather, that would have backed Arsenal to beat Barcelona. And despite the fairly even first leg, it was all a bit too much thanks to that Lionel Messi. What did you make of the second leg there, Arsenal against Barcelona?
I did tweet just before the game started that I had a bad feeling about it, and it was only Klaas Bentner's goal in the middle of the first half that actually briefly changed that for a little while. No real surprise, really. I mean, if you take half a team to Barcelona, you're going to get taught a lesson, and the elements of the Arsenal side have come under criticism for the manner of the defeat, but I don't think you can really blame anyone there, because you know, they are a very, very, very good team, and you know, we're pretty much decimated at the moment with injuries, so it was an entertaining enough tie over the two legs. I think you were being very, very kind to say that we were level after the first leg. We're a level and only scoreline. I think that much is certain.
I think probably asking a bit too much to have a subdued Messi for two legs. It was sort of you're leading a charmed life, having got away with getting through the first leg with him a little bit subdued. But
I think it would have been maybe different if we'd had Alex Song playing for us, because he's been an absolute tower for Arsenal this season, and a sort of player that we've obviously needed, and. I think if he'd been playing, then perhaps he would have been tracking Messi more and not allowing Vermaelen to be pulled out of position as he was in the evening. So, you know, you could all say, "Oh well, it might have been different if we'd taken a full strength team," and it may well have been. But at the moment, you look at it and think, "Well, yep, okay, hats off, off to Barcelona."
The one thing you say about sort of Messi, really, is just that, I mean, the sheer quality of the goals he scores, if nothing else, makes the sort of losing team feel a bit better about the way in which they lost. You just sort of have to hold your hands up and sort of say, can't do anything about that, can you? I mean, it's just, the guy's just unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, it was interesting, actually, because I watched the Clásico on Saturday, and I watched them beat Real Madrid in a closer game. But in a game that that you could still see that Barcelona were, Real were almost defeated as soon as they went out on the pitch. It's like you could see that they were making the right noises and everything, but you just sort of looked at them and you sort of think, you've known for some time that you're going to finish second to this side.
Yeah.
And the worst thing, because of the way La Liga works and it's done on head-to-head, they know that it's not just the 3 points now that's the difference. It's like 3.5 points you get because, I think you've got to look at Barcelona at the moment and say, yes, they are fantastic. At what price that fantasticness has come, that's another debatable point, because if you look at La Liga at the moment, it's pretty much ridiculous. I think this weekend Valencia, who were third place, mathematically were ruled out of becoming champions. Now, which you can say, right, okay, they would never have had a chance anyway, but to be ruled out of being mathematical champions when you're in third place with 7 games to go is
it is.
I mean, like that doesn't even happen in Scotland, does it?
Now, Graham, you've already annoyed the Norwegians today.
I've already annoyed the Norwegians and the Leeds fans, haven't I?
I might as well go for the match ball. Sorry, a little private joke there. Let's suffice to say, if you go onto some people on the pitch and look at Graham's the comments after Graham's TV preview today, then you'll get an idea of what we're talking about there. But that's another story. La Liga, 7 games to go, and basically it's a 2-horse race. And you might even argue there's only a 1-horse race, given that Barcelona's
only 1-horse race. I think that's the thing now. It would take something quite strange to happen now between now and the end of the season for things to change in Spain, I think. And it's worrying times ahead for them, I think. But I think Barcelona are going to win La Liga, and I think they're going to probably go on and win the Champions League as well. Given the other teams that are left in there, I think the only possible stumbling block they can have is Inter.
Yeah, it's going to be a really interesting sort of counterpoint on the sort of tactical front on that one, isn't it? Really, whether Mourinho can sort of outthink Barcelona in the way that perhaps he did against Chelsea in one of the previous rounds.
Yeah.
Is it likely? Yeah. Do you see that has been a pretty close game, and can Inter do it?
It's an intriguing game. I think that's one thing for certain. Though, really. I don't think Inter are that great, to be honest. I think if you were to say to me, who were the better team, Chelsea or Inter, I would still say Chelsea, even though, across 2 legs it proved that they weren't.
But I think maybe that in the case of Inter, as with a fair few teams, really, I've certainly seen this year, when you compare them in terms of their European campaigns and their domestic campaigns, you see that they really kind of raised their game for the European campaigns and are much more focused and well drilled and disciplined. I think that's the case of Inter, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. I really would. I think some of the performances they've produced this season, especially the two against Chelsea, were fantastic. And it really hit Chelsea hard, those two games, because not only in the Champions League but in their league form as well. They started to stutter there. They've got it back since those games, but I think it had quite a powerful effect on them. And I think the ironic thing is, I think they can look back on it now and they can say, that's probably focused them enough for the rest of the campaign. And I think they are going to win the Premier League. I think they're not going to screw it up in the last few games.
No, they've certainly been playing very, very well, Chelsea. That's for sure. And I mean, I've
kind especially of... at home.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like 3 of the last 5 games are at home, and I can see them taking 9 points and increasing their goal difference even more in those games.
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of given up now on making predictions because I've made so many bad ones recently. I got lulled into that trap of saying that maybe Hull were on their way out of the relegation zone and West Ham were kind of sinking, because since I've said that, of course, there's been a complete reverse of fortunes. But that's just one example.
All for the good of you, then, isn't it, really?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, if West Ham stay up, then I'll take my fair share of the claim on that one, if I've got any contribution to make. But no, I mean, it has to be said, I mean, given the weekend results, I mean, Chelsea playing in the FA Cup semi-finals, something else has been going on since we've been away, and Man United drawing 0-0 with Blackburn. Chelsea is certainly in the box seat. Perhaps we'll come on to that shortly, but... Coming back to the Champions League, of course, the other team that was playing last week, was it? Or maybe the week before? Oh, I've lost track now, all the Easter holidays and everything. Manchester United playing against Bayern Munich. Munich won the first leg, 2-1, and Manchester United got an absolute flyer in the second leg, but ended up winning 3-2. Which was a 4-4 draw in aggregate, which Bayern Munich won on the away goals. But it's kind of one of those. It was one of those things where you just sort of scratch your head and think, "How the hell did that happen?" Because Man U did again. Some would say in the first leg as well, to some degree, Man U looked like the better team. But again, you could say that Munich went into that game, had a plan, stuck to it, and just sort of refused to die, shall we say? And the end result being that they did enough to overturn Man United. I think Terry said recently. That essentially Bayern Munich were the more inferior team out of Manchester United and Bayern. I think I'm right in quoting him saying that. But maybe there's something to be said for getting it tactically right. Did you see the Man U Bayern Munich game, Graham?
I saw quite a lot of the second leg. It was interesting. I thought, because it was almost as far as the scoreline concerned, but even in the way it was played, very similar to Bayern's previous round against Fiorentina,
yes,
where identical scorelines saw them through. Against Fiorentina as well, they had even more luck really when a goal was given to them that was a country mile offside. But I think, the way they played at Old Trafford, the Bayern Munich second half display at Old Trafford really was enough for them to say, right, okay, well, we deserve to be going through the next round, and you don't.
Yeah.
And they looked like the one who had years and years of Champions League experience at the top flight. And I must say, like, Robin and Ribéry did look like that. They had world-class players who brought their A game.
Yeah,
Manchester United didn't have that, and that was the difference between the two sides in the second half of the second leg, at least. Anyway, Robin was just great. I mean, he was just enjoying himself.
Yeah.
Back in England, showing everyone just how good he actually is. Mm.
And Ribéry,
he wasn't made of glass.
Yeah, quite. Yeah, and Ribéry was showing his class as well. I think they're
in the first leg, I watched a lot of the first leg, and he looked amazing in that game.
Yes,
he really did. And like everyone who's been saying, well, there's lots of money been like the big money figures been touted around him, but he's playing in the Bundesliga, he can't be that good. And when you saw him play in that first leg, you thought, yes, he can be, look at him, he's fantastic.
Yeah,
and he will be fantastic in the World Cup.
Yeah, as I was going to say, actually, France will be more than pleased to welcome him back for the World Cup, give him a chance of doing well. So, so there we are. So Man U out and Arsenal out. Chelsea were already out. So that's the end of English involvement. And, of course, much hoo-ha going on over the last week or two. Some people sort of saying, oh, it's a tragedy for English football. And, it's because it's the first time in, I think I'm right in saying, 7 years that there's been no English team in the last four of the Champions League. Personally, I think it's quite refreshing, to be quite honest. And
it is a breath of fresh air, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's probably certain quarters of continental Europe that think England's English football is getting a bit cocky and getting a bit above itself, and maybe there are some English fans that do think that. But personally, I'm only too pleased to see some. A better variety of nationalities, shall we say, in the last four. I mean, we've got one French team, which we knew was going to happen anyway, in the sense of Lyon, who beat Bordeaux. Bordeaux, as I predicted, actually won the second leg, but they were already training 3-1 from the first. And Lyon just pretty much you know, set the defence up and sort of said, well, you're going to have to get through us. And Bordeaux got one. And again, as I kind of felt they would, but it wasn't enough. So that's Lyon through to the last four. And we've mentioned, say, Barcelona already. Inter got through. They knocked out CSKA in Moscow. So an interesting lineup there. Bordeaux v Bayern Munich, it'll be in the semis, and Inter versus Barcelona. And those games, first legs of those games are next week. So that was that. And then, of course, in the Champions League, Liverpool managed to show that their season.
In the Europa League.
Sorry, did I say? What did I say? Did I say Champions League? Sorry, old habits die hard. sorry, in the Europa League, Liverpool have shown that their season isn't quite over yet. They managed to get through their quarterfinal tie. Fulham managed to beat Wolfsburg as well. So we still hang on to the possibility that we could have an all-English Europa League final, for what that's worth.
I think that looks stick on, actually. Mm-hmm. I think the way that Fulham played against Wolfsburg was one of the most professional displays I've seen from an English club in like the UEFA Cup or Europa League mm-hmm. for a long time.
I must confess, I didn't see it myself, but
it was very, very good, and you know, you think, well, they're going to get past Hamburg. If they play the same way, they should get past Hamburg. And likewise for Liverpool as well. I mean, like, they played really, really well. So, you know, and they're well deserving of their semi-final berth as well.
Yes, indeed. I mean, with your knowledge of German football, I mean, what could Hamburg offer that Wolfsburg didn't?
Not a great deal. I think Hamburg aren't doing that great at the moment. It's a pity Terry's not here because he'd probably be able to tell you a lot more than I would. Mm. But I think Roy Hodgson has found a good formula in Europe, and I think it's going to set him fair to get through to the final. Mm. And I think they're going to play Liverpool because I think Atletico Madrid aren't going to trouble Liverpool. They shouldn't anyway. And I think Rafa should be able to beat them. But I must admit, that was the best game on that Thursday night was Atletico Madrid versus Valencia.
Really?
I caught the last quarter of an hour of it, and it was mad. It was absolutely mad. It was brilliant. It was all over the shop, and it was a real sort of like you know, breathtaking display at the end, and it was good, really. It was sort of reminding you that there are other clubs in Spain other than the top two. And,
yeah.
But it was a good domestic real cup tie action, which was good to watch.
Yeah, they drew 0-0 with Valencia on last Thursday night, which was 2-2 on aggregate, and you know, Atletico Madrid were away from home in the first leg, so Atletico Madrid go through, as we mentioned. They'll be playing Liverpool.
Well, Valencia had a big shout for a penalty with about 2 minutes left on the clock, and the guy who was pulled down the big lamppost of a forward there got up there and basically his shirt had been half ripped off his chest.
Nice.
And the referee didn't give it, so that was brilliant.
Excellent stuff. Atletico Madrid actually, I mean, they had an awful first half of the season at Lille. Probably a bit more than just a half of the season, but they've managed to get themselves up to 10th in the table now. They're in La Liga, and they may yet salvage something if they can beat Liverpool. Liverpool themselves, as we know, have had a bit of an up-and-down sort of season, but very convincing win, certainly from what I saw of it, 4-1 at home to Benfica. And Benfica won the first leg 2-1. I thought Benfica were probably going to finish a job off there, but I don't know why. Maybe I just got the wrong vibes about that, but it finished 5-3 on aggregate to Liverpool. So Liverpool, Atletico Madrid, and Hamburg finished up 5-2 aggregate winners over Standard Liège. So that'll be good. The ties for the semi-finals of the Europa League are on the 22nd and the 29th of April. So something to look forward to there. Now then, going back to the oldie Premier League. It looks like Chelsea have sort of got the I hate to use that phrase now, the box seat after what's been going on earlier on. It's fraught with danger when you say that somebody's in the box seat. excuse me. But yeah, Chelsea are actually playing in the FA Cup semi-finals. And as we know, I'm sure everybody knows, Chelsea beat Aston Villa 7-1 a while back. I don't think anybody in their wildest dreams was expecting a repeat. But in the end, a pretty comfortable win. I don't know if you saw any of that, Graham. Chelsea over Aston Villa.
It was a comfortable win as far as the score
in the end, sort of thing. Yeah,
but as far as the performance was concerned, I have to side down with the Villa fans and say, well, congratulations, Harold Webb. You've seen Chelsea through, yeah. Because I think it was a shocking refereeing display, mm. and big decisions changed that game. Because, well, for one thing, they should have got a penalty. Mm-hmm. And another thing, John Terry should be facing a three-match ban.
Oh, God.
There's no two ways about it, really. Mm. I think that was a horrendous tackle on James Milner, one that he was lucky enough to walk away
from.
Yeah,
that's what I thought, yeah.
There was a clear foul on Gabriel Agbonlahor. And these things do change matches. I was just thinking the fact that they won 3-0 in the end, I think, is pretty meaningless. As far as the performance was concerned, it was a 1-0 win at best, and really it should have been at least level pegs.
Yeah, you
know, they certainly wouldn't have won 3-0 if they'd only had 9 men on the pitch.
Well, quite so. Yeah, I think the last of those 3 goals was sort of pretty late on anyway, so it was pretty much a formality by that stage anyway. But no point taken on all of that. As it is, Chelsea go through to the FA Cup final. And I think I'm right in saying, I saw a statistic earlier on, which was something along the lines of, is that now 3 out of the last 4 FA Cup finals Chelsea have been on? I might have got that wrong, I'm not sure, but it sounds about right. So they've certainly figured largely in the last few, as memory serves. But the big story, perhaps, was in the other FA Cup semi-final, where Portsmouth beat Tottenham 2-0 after extra time. And given Portsmouth's dire circumstances that's lasted pretty much all of this season, I don't suppose it would have been many people that would have bet on that. But as it is, full credit to Portsmouth. And they're going to be going through to the final to play Chelsea, where they'll probably get a damn good thrashing. But that's I'm sure we'll be speaking about that at some point in the future. But Tottenham just looked a bit sort of, what shall we say, looked a bit blunt, frankly. All their sort of big name stars, your Defoes and your Peter Crouches and all the rest of it, just seemed a bit ineffective on the day.
Yeah, do you think?
I thought so.
They did look out of ideas as far as I was concerned. Do you think he should have started with Pavlyuchenko?
I think so, yeah. But we all know about the Harry's opinion of Pavlyuchenko and the issues that have been going on at the club this season with regards to those two, but I just think, yeah, Pavlyuchenko's sort of brought an extra little dimension to Tottenham in recent weeks and has been playing really well, I'd have picked him, I think, to be honest. Crouch has gone a bit off the boil in recent weeks, as far as I can make out, so yeah, why not, I suppose.
I think it was an amazing defensive display from Portsmouth. Yeah. I think some of the blocks and clearances from the centre backs there were just real do or die stuff out there, and it was really like an impressive defensive display. And yeah, I think on balance, yes, they probably do deserve it. I think Tottenham were unlucky to get that goal disallowed at the end, but they'd gone through periods of having a lot of possession in that game, but there was never any moment in that game where you thought, oh, Tottenham really are unlucky not to go through it.
Well, you sort of think any minute now they're gonna make the breakthrough. Yeah.
It almost looked like, you know, they're unsure at the moment whether to stick or twist at the moment, because they've got these 3 immense games for them coming up. And Man City are on powerful form at the moment, and you can see Tottenham looking at this and thinking, shit, we're not even going to finish 5th at this rate, because you know they're up against 3 teams that all they've got on their mind is 3 points, and they're all above Tottenham, so they've got to really bury some long standing ghosts there.
I'll say, yeah.
if they if they if they if they've got to go to Old Trafford and get points, which, you know, which they
you've already made that point clear, as listeners will have heard in the opening title sequence, in the opening signature tune, we've played. I've managed to salvage a clip from the last show we did, where basically I was saying, Manuel have a tricky game against Tottenham? You went, no, it won't be tricky or something. And yes, I think, I mean, I was hoping to actually sort of do a bit of research just to see how bad it's been for Tottenham at Manu in recent years. But I think it's probably fair to say that they've not had a lot of change from their visits to Old Trafford. I take your point, and I'll withdraw the original premise. But yeah, I mean, as you say, it's Tottenham are at home to Arsenal in the next game, then it's at home to Chelsea, and then away to Manchester United, by which point their challenge for fourth place could be pretty much dead in the water, really, because there'll only be a couple of games after
that. Could well be, yeah.
Bolton and Man City, yeah, they'll have remaining after that, so...
But luckily for Tottenham, I mean, even if things do go horribly, horribly wrong for them and they end up finishing as low as seventh in the league, they could still end up in
Well,
Europe.
That's right. Because of developments this very day, actually, as we speak to you, we're recording this on Monday night as ever, it's a story that's sort of ended up on the web and wherever, is that essentially, I think I'm right in saying that the FA Cup losing finalists kind of get they get given the Europa League place for next season.
Yeah, if the winners
are already in Champions League, which they're bound to be, Chelsea. So so because of the fact that Portsmouth ended up in administration this year, that means they're unable to apply for a UEFA license, which would enable them to take part in the Europa League next season. I think I've got that right. So therefore...
Yeah, that's the way I read it.
You know, Portsmouth, in their inimitable fashion, are appealing that because, of course, you know, all the rules of world football are currently wrong and don't give enough advantage to Portsmouth. So that's what they're kind of sorting out. And so the way it's looking at the moment, the team that finishes seventh will be given a Europa League spot, which at the moment is Aston Villa, but it could very well be Tottenham, could be Liverpool even. So, you know, season's not over yet for Tottenham. So I reckon they'll be playing European football one way or the other next season. That's for certain. Just before we move on, just while we're just about hanging on to talking about Portsmouth, while we've been chatting, Graham, I don't know if you've noticed, but we've received a message from Terry, who has no doubt thought of something that he would have wanted to talk about during the show, and he's basically said regarding Portsmouth, Pompey shouldn't be in the FA Cup. They got to Wembley with players they haven't paid for. Right. I'm not sure I've got enough time to kind of go through the implications of that, but yes. what can you say? All I know is that that fella Piquion, he's been an absolute star for Portsmouth, and, you know, for what. Oh, he's a player, tremendous player. I mean, he's got so many goals, and I mean, under different circumstances, you know, they would have been all the more valuable to Portsmouth. But I think he's been arguably one of their best players this season. And of course, Portsmouth weren't able to use O'Hara, were they, because of the cup tie thing, which caused a bit of a sort of friction between the two teams. Anyway, there we go. So that's the FA Cup final sorted out.
I thought that was great because he was punditing, wasn't he, for
that's right.
TV. And you could tell he thinks of himself as a Portsmouth player now. He's certainly, from the way he was talking, it was all, yeah, we've had a good half and we've done this and we've done that. And he wasn't talking
about that stuff, Tottenham. I know where my allegiances lie.
Yeah, so it's obviously, like, you know, Harry's done a number on him.
Sure, another one, yes. So there we are. But FA Cup final, 15th of May, and it'll be Chelsea versus Portsmouth, as we mentioned. Just got a little quick mention just before we have to wrap the old show up for the Premier League, as we know. So Chelsea currently a point clear of Manchester United, but with a game in hand. Man U on 73 points, Arsenal 71, and Arsenal have a game in hand on Man U as well. So what do you reckon, second Graham, possible?
I think so. I think that's going to really depend on the result of the Manchester derby this weekend. Which I really do fancy City
for. Yeah.
I think City could run out good winners in that.
Yeah,
game.
There's every chance of that, I think.
I reckon. Yeah, I think they've got the power and the energy behind them at the moment. And I don't think Man United have got a lot of belief in themselves at the moment.
Yeah, so it's all sort of.
I think those two results hit them hard, and I think you're going to notice that next.
Quite
week.
Yes, it's all sort of starting to collapse in on itself like a house of cards. I think Man United at the moment, very impressed with Man City. They're doing tremendously well. High scoring wins. Left, right, and centre of them. So, yeah, optimistic.
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, hats off to Mancini. I mean, I didn't have a lot of faith in him when he came when he arrived, but you know, he's certainly done the business
quite so
at the right time of the season as well. So,
and at the other end, very quickly, Portsmouth we know are down, and it's just all to play for still in the bottom four.
I don't know so much, really. Is it really? Do you think so? I mean, like, I suppose you're looking at it from West Ham's point of view, because they're, what, 4 points clear?
Well, they are, but the thing is, what's kind of muddying the waters a bit is if you look at the bottom five, so you've got, well, sorry, forget Portsmouth then, the four above Portsmouth, Hull City, 27 points, Burnley, 27, but they've played a game more, Wigan, 31, and West Ham, 31, but they've played a game more as well. So basically what's muddying the waters there is that West Ham... and Burnley have played a game more than the other teams in the bottom five. And I think if everyone was on the same number of games played, you'd kind of have a pretty good idea with, like, you know, four or five games left.
I can't see any of those teams, though, going on, like, a two or three
winning
streak.
Oh, no, certainly not.
If you can call two games a winning streak. I think if any of them get more than 5 points between now and the end of the season, I think they'll have done very
indeed,
well.
Indeed.
So I think safety is still going to be about 36 points, and it will probably, at the end of the day, it'll probably be even lower. It'll probably be something like 34 points.
Yeah, well, at least from
I think the bottom three is going to remain the bottom three.
Well, that's the one thing I've kind of got my fingers crossed for is that Burnley and Hull can keep sort of cancelling themselves out a bit, really, and West Ham, to their credit, have now finally managed to having hit the bottom of the barrel, now sort of finding some spirit from somewhere, and 4 points out of the last six available. So having said that, I think they've got Liverpool coming up, maybe even in the next game. I'm not entirely sure. You know, it's going to be close, and I've given up now trying to work out how West Ham get on. It's going to be squeaky bum time in this house for sure. That much can be said. Anyway, I feel we're rapidly running out of time. So all I'll just say is, just to everybody listening in, thank you very much for joining us this week. We hope to have Terry back next week if we can get all our technical problems sorted out. But in the meantime...
Get him away from the space.
Yeah, he's sounding like a Dalek at the moment. You know, what he does in his own time is up to him. Don't forget, we have a Twitter account, at Sound of Football. Do drop us a line on that if there's anything you want us to talk about, or you've got any feedback about the show. You can email us at sofpodcast@googlemail.com. We have, of course, got a blog site, which is soundoffootball.blogspot.com. And, beyond that, you know, your world is your oyster, really. Do get in touch with us, and we'll be only too keen to get your feedback. But for now, thanks very much indeed for listening. We hope to have the pleasure of your company again next week. But from Graham and myself, it's goodbye.
Goodbye.
And now it's time for Soccer Yens.
Hello. I want 2 jugs of vodka and cherry coke, with 10 jumbo packs of M&Ms, that's with all the yellow ones taken out, and a copy of Lethal Weapon 2 on VHS. That's before I even talk to MLS. I am not high maintenance. Goodbye.
Tune in next week for another exciting episode of Soccer Yens.